Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Hey, everybody. Hey. Okay. All right, Sam. I know it's tough, but we need you to try and go this whole episode without talking about the Minnesota women's hockey team. Okay?
Fine.
Listen, I know I've been there. It's tough, but we have a lot of questions to get through. And no, I really no, feel
screw
like...
it, screw it. Hockey podcast now. It's Walter Cup Championship, motherfucker.
And welcome to another championship episode of 12 Points from America, the Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, the country that's 2-0 in world wars. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm slightly offended.
And I'm Danny. Hi.
Why?
Ooh. No, I'm not really. Just ooh.
And you know what? Congrats to the Minnesota team of the PWHL for winning the championship hockey podcast.
The first one.
They don't have a name. None of the teams have names.
Not yet.
Like they have names, but they don't
that's
have
coming this summer.
They don't have nicknames. They just have.
It feels more European that way. You know, what's Man City? Man City is Man City. That's who they are. You know.
I mean, there will be official names later on, which is fine. But I feel like this first year they put the league kind of together. The first year was going to be a little bit sort of stripped back and simple, and just, you know, we're Minnesota, the Minnesota hockey team, purple team, champions.
Do you think it might be wise for them to just stay with that? Because if they won a championship, you know.
Yeah, and just like HC Minnesota or something like that. Just keep it. Just
they're
keep it simple.
The Nemo, bringing it back around, of women's professional hockey in the US and possibly also Canada.
Six teams in the US, six teams in Canada. PWHL, yeah.
Cool.
Unlike Nemo, the trophy stayed intact during the celebration. So,
There was a backup.
Yeah. Anyway, yes. May as well throw it to the socials. Find us on all the standard social media outlets: Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Threads, Instagram, yada yada yada. 12 Points USA. Just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. You can find our merchandise over on our Redbubble page, or you can support us via a monthly contribution on Patreon, or by a one-off contribution on our Ko-fi. Ko-fi page. Whether you support us financially or not, we love you anyway, but Patreon supporters do get exclusive content and early access to episodes. And wanted to shout out our newest patron. It's Ellen Ross. Hi, Mom. Thanks, Mom.
Sounds made up.
Yeah. Unless it's another Ellen Ross. I mean, it's
what if it
possible.
Is?
It'd be great.
Is that any relation to Diana Ross?
As far as I can tell, no.
Oh.
I mean, okay. I guess in the sense of the whole like one Milkali, we're all connected in that way, sort of. In that case, yes, I guess we're all related to Diana Ross.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting.
Anyway, it's still summer. I'm sure you could tell. It's still the off season. We're on our more sporadic posting schedule. But I think the four of us, three of you and me, kind of figured that this would be a good time to crack open the mailbag. We still are struggling with, echoing with a lot of questions from this past year, and also looking forward to the future. So why don't we crack open the mailbag? We had some great questions from listeners and followers. Do we just want to hop right into it?
Why not? I mean, there's what news is there? The same news we're going to be talking about for the next 4 months, probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's at this point, it's you know, Swiss cities are beginning to toss their hats into the ring for hosting.
It's going to be between two real cities, right?
Three, I think.
Lausanne, Zurich, and what?
No. Zurich, Geneva, and Basel, I think, are going to be the top three.
Basel, were they tape bananas to the wall?
I mean, gotta feed us somehow, I guess.
All right.
The food in the press center is just a bunch of bananas?
Just the bananas from Art Basel.
Yeah.
Wait, wasn't Bern one of the cities?
What does Bern have? Does Bern have a?
I've been there.
Yeah, I was gonna say it has the capital and nothing else.
And it's a, and a bear.
Well, yeah,
a bear.
You know, it's like Helena, Montana. You know.
There is literally a bear pen in the city. Yep. Because the city is named Bear.
Huh.
like at the zoo.
So it would be perfect. Perfect for Eurovision there. If it's Bear City, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
that's non-qualifiers go into the bear pit.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
God intended.
Postcards are all filmed with the bear.
I was going to say, if only one of the questions in the mailbag is like, what would you add to the, you know, Swiss Eurovision? It's, you know, whoever doesn't qualify gets thrown into the bear pit.
I mean, it's like that. It's a crossover between that Instagram trend. Would you rather run into a man or a bear in the woods?
Ooh, let's make that our first question.
Bear.
Damn.
Well, I mean, if it's one of you guys.
I was
going
to say bear, because all I have to do is just bang some pots and pans.
Are we assuming the man is a stranger?
Yeah, it's random man.
Random man, so probably a stranger.
Also, you don't know if he has any intent or not. That I know him.
Is there a chance that I know the bear?
There is a chance.
Is it Jeremy Allen White?
I was going to say, it's the bear from the bear. Okay, where's a real question?
Yeah, Erica, crack open the mailbag. What do you got for
us? Oh, all right. Hang on. I gotta crack the...
Not the classic Canadian erotic novel bear.
Oh, no. Oh, I was hoping nobody's going to bring that up.
It was Alabama coach Paul Bear Bryant. It's preserved and sent to Switzerland and placed in a cage, just in case. Anyway, our first question is from Lisa Bible.
Bible?
Lisa Bible.
Right. Wrote the Bible?
Like Michael Bublé.
Yeah. So I know a handful of artists met with the EBU and missed part of a rehearsal. What would be the artist delegation's role in this? I would have thought that this would have been something members of the delegation could have handled and not the artists themselves.
Oh,
this is going to be a difficult question to answer, but I really like the question. So, Sam and Derek, you've been parts of delegation.
Yeah.
What, I mean, when there is an issue, let's say, I don't know if this is something that either of you had to deal with, but what is that process like, and what would be the advantage for an artist to be a part of that versus just sending their people, for instance?
I mean, honestly, I've never had to deal with anything quite like this. You know, there have certainly been times when a delegation has wanted to, you know, work on something technical, you know, a camera angle or any of that, which that kind of thing is handled at a very specific point in the process in the viewing rooms and things like that. This is sort of untested waters in terms of, you know, I'm going to pull out of a dress rehearsal. I think an artist has every right to speak with a delegation or with a member of the EBU, somebody who if they have a problem, it's not like they're gagged or yoked or anything like this. You know, if they see a problem and they have something, a pathway to possibly get that problem solved, I don't think there's any problem with an artist approaching somebody who they know could possibly get their problem fixed. I don't know enough about the specifics of the situation and the conversations to know if it was the artist or a representative of the artist. I mean, these are things that we just don't really know.
Just seems silly that this is like that this happened in the first place.
Well, yeah, but yeah, you could say that about a lot of things this year, Danny.
Lord knows. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd imagine. Oh, Derek, go ahead.
I was just going to say in a weird way. I mean, the artist is the delegation to a certain extent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If it's going to affect anyone, it's going to affect them the most.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine they would want to be aware.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the entire presence of the delegation is to lift up the artists and to support the artists. And they're the ones representing the country. So, I mean, I think it may also depend on the artists themselves. I mean, some may be a bit more direct and say, hey, I want to speak to somebody from the EBU. I know this person. Let me reach out to this person who can possibly help. Or somebody may also say, you know what? I want to just focus on this other thing. So I'm going to have my head of delegation go and speak to somebody or my manager or, you know, head of press or you know, we know how this kind of stuff works, but mm-hmm. I feel like we don't know enough about the individual situations to know how to fully answer this.
When I think about this, try to think about it a little bit from the EBU's perspective. I will use Bambi Thug as an example because they skipped the final dress rehearsal, I believe. And I'm just thinking, if you're with the EBU, I think there's probably a measurable difference between some representatives coming up and saying, hey, Bambi's upset about X, Y, and Z, as opposed to Bambi going up to them and saying, I'm upset with X, Y, and Z. I think that comes across perhaps a bit more seriously and urgently than you know, sending someone. I think in with the situations and the things that we do know that Bambi was upset about, I can see that being a potentially important step to take in terms of getting a point across and things like that. There was a report, and it's not one that I am super inclined to believe, that there were a handful of artists, including Switzerland, that were threatening to pull out until literally like 40 minutes before the final.
And I've also heard multiple reports refuting that. So I don't give that report any credence.
I mean, the thing about it is, you know, they had to reach a deal at the last minute, but like, okay, what was the deal then? Cause I feel like the deal, if there was something like that going on, had to basically be, you're going to perform and that's it. Like I don't think there were any concessions or anything like that. You know what I mean?
I think we're playing with rumors here that we don't know enough about.
No.
Is a podcast for? You know, if not to tennis around some bandy around some rumors.
Yeah,
it's what we do best.
I'm bringing it up so that I can say I don't believe this story.
Yeah, I don't believe it either. Yeah.
All right, what do we got next?
All right. One from our patron EESC HEB. What is your favorite non-winning song from the national final season?
Do I get to talk about Dos Extraños again?
Sure.
I thought I swore off talking about it again, but because somebody wants to know, it's by far Dos Extraños from Spain. You were robbed. Zara was a meme song. Did very well in Spain and no one else cared about it for obvious reasons. Dos Extraños, if you had gone to the contest, you would have come in second.
Dang.
Yeah.
No, not second. Come on.
It would have done very, very well. I think the sentiment would have been behind Spain in a way that it has been behind Portugal sometimes. I don't know. Spain kind of wants a win, and it felt like if they would have sent Dos Extraños, it would have felt like, oh man, they're really trying with something that sounds great and like has a depth of feeling to it. Yeah.
At the same time, too, somebody commented, they sent a song that was very classy and very well performed last year and got nothing.
Mm.
So I think this year they're just kind of like, whatever, let's just send what we want.
Yeah. Kind of bombed, didn't it?
Okay. So if not that, then Out of My Mind, Czechia.
That was a good one.
Underrated. For me, I have to give it between three. From San Remo, Mahmoud to the Gold was spectacular.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And you cannot deny that, man. In that same breath.
Apparently you can.
I guess so. In that same breath, Annalisa, Sinceramente.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really fantastic. And my third one, because it's me and you know me well enough to know that I like the weird stuff. If you go into the Albanian semifinal, there was a song by Luan Durmishi called Pesherica. He kind of looked like the dude from Binging with Babish, you know, Andrew Ray, but singing a repeated song in Albanian, English, and Latin, saying lyrics that basically translate to repetition is the mother of invention, repetition is my own mother. And it was haunting and weird and wonderful, and it made me so sad that it didn't even qualify out of the semifinal in Festival de Cangas. But yeah, Luan Durmishi, Pesherica. So those are my top three. Derek and Eric?
I'm just going to echo Pascana. I still love it.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think Pascana's up there for me as well.
Yeah.
I will throw out Avid and the Two Dragons, Hold Me Now. song that I think is just absolutely gorgeous. Did not have a prayer it's such a gorgeous understated song. It's just kind of a hard sell in a song contest, but my God, the song was fantastic. I also really like Margaret Berger's Oblivion.
Yes.
from Norway. Honestly, about half of the Norwegian final I really liked.
Seemed like.
Yeah. Save Me by Anne Princess was really good. Green Lights by Mila was very, very good. Yeah. I really liked Zifferblatt's Place I Call Home from Ukraine. That whole national final was
stacked.
As usual.
Real good. And I will give one other shout out to Cyan Kicks, Dancing with Demons from Finland. I get as much as their last national final, but I liked it a lot. And I hope they get in at some point because they seem very fun. Oh, and Go Tobin from Ireland.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. I got one more. This one's so nice and chill that it's easy to forget about. But every time I hear it, it makes me so happy. Teoriesta Conspiração by Nena from Portugal is the sweetest little love ballad. It's
the kind of conspiracy theories you want to hear about.
Yes. Yeah. It's not really about conspiracy theories, and it's an interesting choice of words, but it is just the sweetest little song. I love that one a lot.
All right.
I'm kidding.
All right. Oh, Eric, it looks like the next one is from you. So why don't you read that one?
Yeah, I thought we should have more questions. So I put one in because this is something I've been thinking about. How would the results of this year be different if Europapa had been in the final?
I still think Switzerland would have taken the win.
I agree with that.
Are we running on the assumption that this would have won the televote then?
No.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's kind of the question, I guess.
So Sam says no.
I think televotes that it would siphon away would mostly be from, I'm going to say Croatia. Like, I'm not sure that it would be siphoning away enough of the vote to detract from Nemo. I think those are two different types of songs, two different types of fans of the contest.
Yeah, and I don't think Nemo loses a ton of points from the jury in this situation, and that jury vote was enough to propel them up. So I think Switzerland.
I would agree there for sure. Yeah,
I think that that final split screen is potentially different because I think Croatia does suffer in the televote if Europop is there. I think perhaps Israel wins the televote. Yeah, I mean, I think Ukraine had a gigantic televote score.
They did.
That was one of the biggest surprises for me, and France up there too. I mean, I think those all come down a bit because a lot of points are going to start going to Europapa. But I think that, like, I think Western Europe is really into that. I think that some of the Eastern countries, maybe not as much as we thought. Derek, what do you think?
We did get their jury score for that one though, didn't we?
Did we?
I think some people were able to kind of tease out that information.
Yeah, I think he would have had like 80 points.
From
the jury, something like that.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't a massive. Yeah, pull.
It was enough to guarantee he wouldn't have won.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult. I think Croatia would have suffered the most.
Yeah,
which is because of that. Shame. It is weird to think about because he was positioned right before Israel, and I'm wondering if that would have mattered to their score or not.
Oh, maybe.
Well, like we say often on the contest, you can't vote against a country.
No, but you can vote for someone else.
You sure can.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see if it had been in there. I don't see it coming top five, but I can certainly see it in the top 10. Probably would have rounded out around like seventh or something.
Yeah, I was thinking top 10, not top five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe fifth. But like Ukraine and France, I think both kind of overperformed expectations a bit. So it's hard to say, I guess.
Yeah, where would because we don't know where the votes would have come from.
Right.
They might have come from places we wouldn't have expected.
Yeah.
I'm kind of putting this whole hypothetical on the same shelf as who's the real winner of the 2020 contest. You know, it's stuff that we'll continue to revisit and pick around a little bit in years to come, but you know, we'll never mm-hmm. fully know. And it's frustrating.
You think the Netherlands might send Joost again?
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't think he'd touch it anymore. No, this is a poison chalice for him.
Okay. Fair enough. Like I said, he's done some festivals and things, and he's had not the kindest things to say about it.
Can't imagine.
From his perspective, I can see why.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Anyway. Did you see what Ollie Alexander said?
Oh, he did like a festival thing. I saw that he had this. Yeah. I saved it because I couldn't listen to it at the time. What did he say? Yeah, I saw like, he was like on
this
stage.
This is the song that came 18 places away from winning Eurovision.
Yeah.
Which is a great way of putting it, as opposed to this is the song that got nothing from the televote, which I still can't believe.
Yeah, that still boggles me.
Bonus question. What happened there?
I don't know. 11? I don't know.
A lot of 11s. Do we
I
know
mean,
that?
May have just been too sexy.
Too sexy.
Like too in your face, sexy. Too... I don't know. Too I mean, gay. I didn't know that. I mean, I
too could gay be. For Eurovision.
I mean, if you're scaring nannies and you know grandmas in Moldova, I don't know.
I don't know. The only one to get no point.
It is bizarre, especially given his
star power, his fame outside the contest. Yeah. Is this that much of an isolated, tiny little? Oh.
I would have thought like Ireland would have given him some points or something.
Yeah. Not enough for it to come out in the volume of everything. Like not even one. Not even one point.
I'm curious. There is a I know it exists somewhere, but there's like a full breakdown of where countries kind of fell. I'd be curious to see their ranking.
Hmm.
Like across the board, like where did they just miss out? Because I remember what was it? Embers, I think, came the best they did was 11th in Poland.
How did this get the same number of televote points as Embers,
especially in a year like this? Well, somebody pointed this out, so and I thought this was kind of interesting. From like the new system of voting, this is like the first year where you had to get to 13th place before you got to triple digits. And in previous years, it was like 16th or 17th.
Yeah.
So it's like a mass conglomeration of points at the top.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the televote, something like more than a third of all the televote points went to three countries. I mean, it was especially top heavy with three countries getting 300 or more. There are 11 songs that have done it.
Across 300?
Yep, 300 public points. Stefania, Amar Pelosdois, Cha Cha Cha, You Are the Only One, Beautiful Mess, Rim Tim Taggy Dim, Toy, 1944, Hurricane, the Israel one, Zietia Buoni, Teresa and Maria.
It's an impressive
list. A hell of a list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, our next question comes from listener Megan Strom, asking, are there any obscure Eurovision songs that you really like? No. Megan's personal favorites are Nebrini by Mia Martina from Bosnia and Herzegovina 2003 and Angel by Too Tricky from Iceland 2001. Neither of them did well in their respective years, but they are certified bangers. And she'd like to know our thoughts. So who wants to start us off?
Derek.
God, crap.
you knew it was coming.
I did, and I immediately am embarrassed by my choice.
Yeah.
Okay. The first song that shot into my head as soon as I heard this, like, what's an obscure song that didn't do well that I still really like? Angel in Disguise from Latvia.
Oh, stare me with candy eyes.
I know, it's so bad and so catchy, especially the Elvis Costello looking dude has a rap break.
Yeah.
Which I quite enjoy. And the main guy looks a lot like Kenneth the Page, but.
But beefier.
But way beefier.
I remember that was in my first year, and the beefy Kenneth the Page, whose name escapes me at the moment, he was basically only like 18 at the time. Okay, like he was really much younger than you were expecting. And so
what like is with this? There always seems to be someone each year where it's just like, oh, look at this hunk. And then you're like, he's 18. He just turned 18. Like,
he's legal.
Yeah. So the ongoing joke from a bunch of us is that people were trying to set him and Getter Yanni up to have some sort of an adorable, like,
tryst,
Baltic State prom date.
No.
I don't think
it's like when we found out what's his nuts from Denmark was 26. Remember when we found that out?
Oh, Riley?
Riley?
Yeah, he was 2014. That's right. Apparently not.
Golden boy?
Yeah, I don't know.
Golden boy, yeah.
Golden boy. He probably looks like he's 60 now.
That was the same year that the so Golden Boy was there and he looked like he was 30, but he was actually like 16.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then there was the girl from Iceland who was like 27 or something.
Oh, is that Maria Olaf's daughter? Yeah.
With yes. And she looked like she was 12.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to, what counts as obscure? Because I
think like not one of the ones that it's either an older song that people don't know or not one of
definitely
the
not a winner.
Something that's been largely forgotten, I suppose.
Largely forgotten, huh? Mm. All right. Well, in that case, my answer is, oh boy, I'm going to say, well, a few. Sound of Our Hearts.
Oh, yeah.
Compact Disco, Hungary.
Yes. That one, that song's great. I cannot believe that tanked as hard as it did. My two favorite songs from that year, bar none, are that and Should Have Known Better. And neither of them got anything. Mm. And that sucks. That's ridiculous. I will also shout out Aina Moon Pitta.
Because
it rules.
Can I just second Should Have Known Better? Probably my
absolutely. One of my favorites. Absolutely.
Also, speaking of Hungary, Kedvesem, great song.
Yes. Mm. Oh, love Kedvesem. Love Kedvesem.
Yeah. These both made the final, but you don't hear about them a lot. Silent Storm. From 2014, and then also Coming Home, Malta in 2014. Those are great. Coming Home's got that the stomp and holler thing going on, and
the story behind that song is great too.
Mm-hmm.
Like really impressive.
Yeah. Have you guys heard?
There are two Coming Homes though. There's Malta's Coming Home. There's Iceland's Coming Home.
I mean Malta's Coming Home.
Okay, so
is the one I mean.
Firelight.
Firelight. Yes. Have you heard this song, Dancing Lasha Tumbe? It's a little bit older.
Have you heard that in... song? I'm maybe not translating it right. Love for the Two of Us.
Oh.
Hmm.
Says, yeah, fire.
Do you know Molitva and or remember, I guess, that Molitva and Dancing Lasha Tumbe were back to back in that final?
Yeah. Oh, Whiplash.
It's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
Danny, what's yours and why is it The Lucky One by Ukusubiste?
So it's not The Lucky One. It's not obscure. It's not by the metrics of this podcast anymore.
Well, no.
Bringing fame to the luck. So I have two, and they're probably not going to come off as anywhere near obscure as your guys's. And one of them is going to be very familiar to your guys's. But it came in 13th in its final. Which is surprising to me always. Hunter of Stars.
Oh,
come back to Hunter of Stars all the time. Really, really like that one. Surprised that it came in 13th. It seems like it was, I don't know, perfect for 2013. Seemed like it was just about perfect.
Everybody had a crush on Sivalter. I had a crush on Sivalter. So.
We love a boy with a fiddle at the contest. And then the other one, which is, I think, a little bit closer to what we're looking at here. This is from 1990. I have a soft spot just because it came up in like an obscure voting thing that one of our internet friends did. This is Bandido by Azúcar Moreno. I know Sam knows a lot about this song, but like this is like 110% Spanish. And it's so over the top and theatrical. I love it. Bandido, I exhort everyone to listen to it.
And also the accidental blooper that happened with their live version.
Yeah, and I think this is the one that's available on YouTube where it's like It has like a very theatrical intro, like about like a solid 45 seconds. And apparently this, so stop me if I'm wrong, but like that began well before either of them were ready backstage. Yep. So for a significant amount of time, you're just looking at an empty stage of people playing very exciting music. And you're like, all right, but nobody is out here.
And when they did come, the cues were all wrong and they had to kind of like confusedly like back away.
Awesome.
It was great.
That's what you want from here. Yeah. Sam, I imagine you have quite a list.
I mean, ask me in 10 minutes and it's going to be a totally different list, but my brain goes to, I mean, with all the talk about Luxembourg, people were bringing a poupée de cire, poupée de sang a lot.
That won the contest, though.
It did. But in that same kind of vibe, that sort of French, yay, swingy, Serge Gainsbourg.
French music hall kind of thing, yeah.
Extreme close-up.
Yeah. There was a song from Monaco, 1967, called Boom Bada Boom by a singer named Minouche Borelli. Like anybody named Minouche, you already you automatically love her.
Got some real Minouche on this one.
Real Minouche. But it was this swinging, you know, boom, bada, boom, boom. And it was singing about nuclear war, but it was, you were so happy when you're singing about like the death and destruction of humanity.
Yay!
And it was amazing. I absolutely love that one. And kind of looking through my list of other like old classics, honestly, like Finland from the mid 60s to like the early 90s had this run of absolute brilliance. Anne Christie's Playboy from 1966 was adorable. Freddie and Friends, Let Your Hip Go Hippity Pump Pump. Laponia from 1977 was amazing. I have a soft spot for 1982, Nuku Pomin, another song about, you know, nuclear war.
Et la Queen et la Mort.
Finland, underrated. Like Finland, between Ella Kun Elama and Sata Salama in 85 and 87, I'm just like, yes. I just take a deep dive into the stuff that Finland was sending 45 years ago, and you will be shocked at how well it's held up.
Finland has been sending quote unquote weird stuff for a surprisingly long time.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Their history is probably the craziest of any country in the contest. They have zigged when others have zagged more than anyone. And it's not like a Portugal that just always kind of does their thing and it's different. This is like Finland is all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, they sent a song called Reggae OK. Like, countries, it was.
Was it okay?
It was not.
Oh, well.
It was okay.
All right.
It was not what you would expect at Eurovision from Finland in the 80s, but it was. But yeah, just honestly, people at home, if you are a relatively new follower of Eurovision and don't know a ton from the past, you know, beyond 10 years, pick a country and literally just go onto YouTube and say, all right, show me all of the songs from Luxembourg in the history of the contest. There will be like medleys on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And just find something you like. I guarantee something will jump out at you and there are hidden gems to be found. And for me, they're generally found in Finland.
Finland's a good one. I feel like it would be difficult for us to do a Finland deep dive episode. It would be like 2 hours long.
Yeah.
But we should maybe do it anyway. Series.
Like a Ken Burns series, frankly.
Ken Burns Finland at Eurovision. Mm-hmm. We'll have a bunch of photographs slowly moving across your ears. Yeah.
Yeah. Years.
Okay. Can I shout out one more song?
Yeah.
All right. Polygenova's first time at the contest.
Nine Knot. Love.
Another good one. Didn't qualify.
Nope. Heartbroken.
Yeah. I like Polygenova a lot. I was saddened to see when she showed up with our old pal P.P. Kirkorov in Turin. That was kind of a bummer. But, these things happen.
Bulgarian.
Yeah, no, I know. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. But Polly's great. Naya Knott's very good. Really surprised that didn't qualify. It was good.
Yep. All right. What is up next? Okay. Elise Ducart has asked, what are some of your favorite past contests? And if you were to recommend specific contests for people to check out, it's me, I'm people, what would you recommend? And any plans on future episodes dedicated to reviewing past contests? The deep dive into 2018 was a blast. We are planning on doing a deep dive, possibly our next episode. So stay tuned for that. Those are always a lot of fun.
Yes. Yes. Well, I was going to say 2018. Is the
that's
one
the reason why we covered
it's
it.
The one,
but
yeah.
But we covered it. So that's, yeah, that one's, that's good. I mean, gosh. Eurovision has been on such a good run lately, yeah. You know. Mm-hmm. 2014 is outstanding.
In Vienna? Or no, in Copenhagen.
No, Copenhagen. Hoopin.
Yeah.
I have to say I was in Copenhagen. I did not visit the venue for the 2014 contest.
You're not missing much.
Because why would you? It's in a big box. I think I saw it. Because you can kind of see it from the where the Little Mermaid statue is.
Yep.
But that's that. Copenhagen's awesome. Danny, you were right about Copenhagen,
yep.
By the way.
It's just cool.
It's
yeah, fantastic. I don't know what... 2018, I like 2019. I have such a service level exposure to all the old contests themselves beginning to end. And so few of them are actually available for watching anymore. So I don't know. 2019 is also exciting for me, but yeah there's a reason we did 2018.
I'm going to unironically recommend 1991.
I was going to say 91. Also,
and not ironically. Because it's a great contest, but because of the exact opposite of that.
Well, musically, I think it was a great contest. Like, there are a couple of absolute classics in that.
As long as the saxophone player wasn't playing.
Yeah. We are talking about Greece.
That one was like, if you thought, boy, 2024 was such a mess, and like, I'm not saying it was perfect, that it was totally fine. I'm not definitely not saying that. But like, watch 1991. It can get worse. So there's that. Also, if you have access to 1956, watch that and maybe share it with the rest of us.
Yeah, we're still waiting for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say 91 as well. I'm also a fan of 2008. Mm. Other than the winner.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the year Russia
was not winning. Thrilled with Russia winning that year. But the Turkish song that year, Deli by Mor Vitesi, was the song that turned me from Eurovision watcher to Eurovision enthusiast and lover. Like, this is the year that turned me. So that was in between Mor Vitesi that year, Vanya Fernandez from Portugal with Senhora do Mar, Shady Lady. Mm. You know, say what you will about Pippi Kirkorov, but Shady Lady was an absolute banger. And there was, you know, some silly stuff too. I mean, Rodolfo Chicli Quattre with Baila il Chiqui Chiqui, like, it was so wonderfully stupid. Yeah, there was something. A Polka Shy was that year. My God. Kele Kele. Yeah, 2008.
Mm. That is a good one. 2009 is interesting because of how big the stage is.
Mm. Yeah.
It's weird.
And the sound quality suffered as too as a result.
Yes. Yeah. That one's. Yeah. Derek, what's your favorite 4-digit number?
I've thought of a few contests. Definitely recommend, I would say 2007, only because it represents such a shift in the zeitgeist. Because if you watch 2006, it's like just the kind of the same song over and over again. And then Gwar comes on.
Yeah. 07's really good.
And 07, it's just you can see suddenly the doors open and people say, oh, we can send something other than pop ballads.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say they're all good, but it represents a time when experimentation was like suddenly becoming more acceptable. And I feel like it really shifted the course of the contest over the years. I quite like 2013. I thought that was a good year. Mm-hmm. 2014 as well. I mean, anything from the last decade.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're all good.
Depending on how far back you want to go, if you want to kind of stay more contemporary. Yeah, anything from the last decade is fine. If you really want to start digging into the history, you know, there's 1991, 2007. There's all these like years where like things really shifted.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see. Elise had a couple of other more esoteric questions that we also like. Favorite / most memorable ESC watch party snacks?
Ooh.
Custom cocktails.
Mmm.
Oh, yeah, those were good.
Those mason jar cocktails. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Shout out to, I believe, patron Brandon for bringing those last year.
Thank you, Brandon.
The Grovlox I made that nobody ate.
I had some of that.
Yeah, you ate it.
Yes.
I make a damn fine Swedish meatball. I brought those a couple of times. Those are good.
We are lucky that we live in a city that has a Eastern European delicatessen like Kramarchuk's up in up in Minneapolis.
Yeah, really good.
So we basically just get an assortment of delicious, you know, Polish and Ukrainian sausage and just devour that. Sorry if any vegetarians there.
You used to have more esoteric stuff there too.
Oh yeah. I normally go over to the local World Market and just go absolutely nuts on whatever international cookies I can get my hands on.
Yeah.
What are those little cream things?
Tonics tea cakes?
Yes.
Oh, that's the answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Tonics, call us. Need that Tonics cash. Yeah. Trying to get to Switzerland.
I'll let myself eat them. It's at the Eurovision party.
Yeah.
And Stroop waffles.
Oh, God. Stroop waffles.
They're everywhere now, though. You can get them everywhere.
I know. And they're still good.
True.
All right.
Tim Tams.
Yeah. Tim Tams are good.
Slam. Do a Tim Tam slam. Yeah.
What can let the folks at home know what a Tim Tam slam?
Oh, my apologies. Bite off
opposite corners of the Tim Tam and use it as a straw to slurp your Earl Grey tea through it.
Or your hot chocolate or your coffee or
It melts the Tim Tam from the inside.
It's so good.
That is pretty good. All right. Last question / best question. Also from Elise. And since I guess you're a movie podcast now.
God, this again?
Favorite movies you've watched for the first time this year?
I'm just going to throw it. I saw Boy Kills World the other day and I loved it.
I don't even know that one.
You wouldn't like it.
Yeah, no. It's not a Sam Ross joint, I don't think.
You guys know me.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for a movie that came out before this year, well before this year, that I just didn't get around to seeing this year. Very, very impressed by the horror movie Don't Look Now.
Oh, I watched that recently, yeah.
Yes. Hmm. Very, very impressed. Very satisfied with that movie.
I haven't... I went and like looked back at my Letterboxd, and I just haven't watched a ton of movies this year. Yes. It might just be Dune 2.
Hmm.
But I will say I have been thinking a lot about I Saw the TV Glow since seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know if I liked it.
love when that happens.
Because it is an allegory for it's and like you see this when other people review it who have like struggled with gender identity and things like that, because the movie is very much an allegory for that and for struggling, being unable to accept who you are, things like that. So like it didn't hit me in the feels like it has for a lot of people. But I would say if you're listening and that does sound like you, I Saw the TV Glow might be a very profound experience for you. It's very interesting. What else? What else did I see? I don't know. Sam, what are you?
That was your favorite. You get one.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
I mean, I haven't really seen a ton of movies in the theater this year. and I haven't really... I'm more likely to like rewatch an old favorite. I did see Furiosa.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked the other Mad Max movie, that, you know, so Fury Road. This is it very much in the same vein. Visually big and crazy, and it was exactly what I wanted it to be.
Right.
Yeah. Which, you know, take that as you will. But I definitely think it was worth it for a nice bit of a horrifying escapism.
Cool. Yeah, I'm going to try and see that this week. Monkey Man also is quite good.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh, my letterbox says I got to read. I have to change my answer. I'm sorry. It was after the start of the year that I saw American Fiction.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That was the other day.
That's probably my answer then, in terms of watch for the first time this year. I thought that was spectacular. That was just tremendous. It was so funny. The some of the things it does with commentary on race in a way that is hysterical. It's just really, really well done. And I'm excited to see what Cord Jefferson does next. Seems like a real talent.
And for other obscure movies, I saw Talk to Me.
Oh.
The horror movie?
Yeah.
I like that these are basically all horror movies. So yeah, this is not helping anyone.
The only thing that comes out before award season this year.
Fair enough.
Everything that comes out after award season. Mm-hmm. These are your February recommendations. It's got Nicolas Cage in it.
Woohoo. Movie podcast. Yeah. Let us know what you think we should watch. What Sam would especially hate. And that's it. Oh, the bag is empty. We're out of questions for now, but you can definitely keep sending us questions. Sometimes we'll just do a question to start a show, you know, if it's something that seems fun. So ask us anything, probably Eurovision related, but if it's not, you know, whatever.
If you can make it tangentially related, or you know,
ask us what our favorite soup is again.
Yeah,
we do like soup.
We do like soup.
Do like soup
podcast now.
Soup podcast.
That's it. We're not
right. All right, everybody. In that case, we will see you on our next episode. Thank you so much for being with us, especially during this otherwise quiet off season. We do really appreciate you. You know, whether you've been with us for a couple of years or just joining us after. After this year's contest, it's wonderful to be able to share this with you all. So thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you, I guess, in our next episode. But until then, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Diddy.
And America.
Stop us now.
This is everything except for a Eurovision podcast at this point. Yeah.